Good morning. To prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper this morning, I have chosen the subject faith, and I have subtitled it, Let Go and Let God. Now that expression, let go and let God, has been around a while. I didn't author it, but I like it. It means to trust God to do for us what he has promised. Now, of course, there's much in this life that we must do for ourselves, is there not? But in matters such as faith and salvation, life and death, answered prayers and supplications, we just have to trust God to do for us what he has promised. We just have to let go and let God. So let me explain. God has blessed me with length of years, or to put it another way, I have grown old. And I have to tell you, growing old is just not that pleasant of an experience. It's a dying experience. As we grow old, we become increasingly frail and weak. And once we start down that path, I've got to tell you, young ones, it doesn't turn around. It gets worse. We suffer humiliating losses of physical function. We become ever increasingly dependent upon others. And beyond all that, death is no longer a distant reality that's easily ignored. Instead, it is an ever-abiding, near-term certainty. That having been said, I will tell you this also. Growing old is filled with blessings. Some of them are physical, like retirement, but most of them are spiritual, among which is a changed life perspective, which one might call wisdom. A learned wisdom born out of experiences and observations and learnings about God's word and the fundamental principles and patterns in life. To prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper this morning, I offer you four. My first observation and personal experience is that most, if not all, Christians struggle in the pursuit of a perfect faith. It's not that we don't believe in God and his word, we do, intensely. And yet, despite our belief, it seems we can't bring ourselves into a complete and certain confidence that God has in fact saved us. Yes, we read the words, we believe the words, and therefore we hope that God has saved us, but somehow we come short of saying, I know God has saved me. This is despite the fact that God has given us many gracious words in Scripture assuring us that he has in fact saved us. When it comes to certainty of salvation, we just can't seem to let go and accept God has done for us what he has promised. We're not letting go and we're not letting God. My second observation and personal experience is that all mankind fears death. More specifically, we're terrified of it. And this fear is reasonable. It's not irrational. For the unbeliever, there's the fear of annihilation, oblivion, cessation of existence. But for the Christian, there's a certain knowledge that sin brings the penalty of separation from God and eternal torment. The fear of that awareness is compounded by the fact that we know that when we die, there is no coming back to relive a life not well lived. The fact that we lack this complete confidence that we've been saved by God leads us to still wonder, when I die, will I make the cut? We are not letting go and not letting God. Now, this is an interesting observation that I've seen over the course of my years. It's a very real phenomenon, but it remains much of a mystery to me. I don't know that I can explain it, but I'm going to try anyway. I have found that older, more mature Christians lose their fear of death, which in my judgment is the greatest blessing of all in age, and perhaps the greatest blessing of all, aside from the actual fact of salvation itself. Now, to confirm this perspective, I took a survey, if you will, of some of our members that are my age or older, and I asked them the very personal question, are you afraid to die? To a person, they all answered no, and they answered relatively quickly and without forethought. These were not forced responses that they felt obligated to say they weren't given their age and time as a Christian, but they all voluntarily and even eagerly gave me testimony, if you will, their words confirming that they were at peace with their impending death. I'm guessing there are exceptions, and I'm sure there are, but the consistency in this pattern is worthy of note. A closure a Christian comes to death, it seems their fears evaporate like the morning mist before the rising sun. Somehow, the fear of death transitions into acceptance. Acceptance becomes comfort. And ultimately, there comes the point when we as Christians embrace death as a blessing that it is. It seems inexplicable, does it not? Why would a person who has feared death their entire life grow to not fear death as it nears? Shouldn't that fear grow rather than decrease or be erased? Which brings me to my fourth observation, my personal testimony, if you will. As I have grown older, I find that my attitude towards death has likewise transitioned. I have become comfortable with my mortality and even at times find myself looking forward to going home, my departure from this life. And this too I have pondered. This feeling is real, but I wonder, why has this happened? How did it happen? What has changed in me? I assure you, when I was a young man, I was afraid of death. I suppose the psychologist and other theologians could give you any number of great reasons why this occurs. I offer you two. The first can be summed up in one word. Faith. I'm not talking about an intellectual or cognitive understanding of the words we read in Scripture. I'm not referring to a hope that we're saved or a belief that we have eternal life. What I'm talking about is a mature, full-grown faith that gives us absolutely certainty that God wants to save us. And He does. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. That God is able to save us, and He is, Hebrews 7:25, and that God has in fact saved us, and He has, 1 John 5, verses 11 through 13. Now, this full conviction of salvation can come at any point in our lives, and certainly in younger years as well, and of course, the sooner the better. But sometimes, I think, perhaps most of the time, for reasons that I cannot explain, a more mature faith comes in our later, more mature years. Perhaps it's a gift from God. Or perhaps it takes a full life of wearisome struggles with temptations, failures, and sins, combined with sorrows, afflictions, and troubles, where we finally reach a point in our later years when we just have to let go and let God. A point when we realize we just can't do this on our own. We've tried. A point when we finally let go of our doubts, let go of our fears, and let God's word fill our hearts with the complete understanding and the complete certainty that He has in fact saved me. A point where we start letting go of this world and setting our face towards eternity. Now there are very many numbers of gracious words in God's scriptures that assure us of our salvation. I offer you but three. They're easy to understand. They're easy to listen to. The question is, do we accept them? 1 John 5:11, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. 1 John 5:13, these things I have written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. Do you believe that? Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. We have not earned it. It is a gift. Secondly, I believe older saints no longer fear death because at some point in a Christian's life, particularly in our later years, there is a literal point when we begin to let go of this world. You just start letting go. We reach a point when we realize this world is not our home, just like the song that we sing. The world's allurements no longer allure. The things of this world no longer satisfy. The afflictions and pain drain us. Death and sorrows burden us. Troubles and problems distress us. And we're just tired of sin, particularly our own. At some point, we just know we don't belong. At some point, we just want to go home. At some point, we just start turning our faces away from this world and set them towards eternity. This yearning experience is real. I have felt it. I feel it now, and it's growing stronger. Thus, I believe and submit to you that our growing desire to go home, combined with a full confidence in our salvation, not only takes our fears away from death, but allows us to embrace death as the blessing and gift from God that it is. Again, there are very many verses revealing to us our glorious eternal home. I offer you but one that I think sums it up. Luke 23:43. Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. These are among the last words that Jesus spoke while he hung on the cross and was dying. These are the words he spoke to the penitent thief that pleaded for mercy. A man who led an entire life of sin and in his last hour pleaded for salvation. The most unworthy among the unworthy. And yet Christ saved him and brought him home. Let me close with the words of one of our older sisters in Christ who answered my survey question, "Are you afraid of death?" And she answered without elaboration, simply saying, "No." I wasn't surprised by her answer, given her age and the things that she had suffered in this life. I was expecting it. But I wanted to know more, and I asked her why. Why aren't you afraid of death? And she answered in a simple but eloquent statement. Because I know God has forgiven me, and I want to be with Jesus. Let me say that again, because I know God has forgiven my sins and I want to be with Jesus. Doesn't this simple answer say it all? Confession of sin in the midst of a struggle of trying to live a faithful life, a childlike certain faith that God had forgiven her and saved her, a yearning to be with Jesus and a childlike simple faith, a certain faith that Jesus will come again and bring her home. These, my brothers and sisters of Christ, are the things of faith. These are the things that remove all fear of death. And these are the things that reveal death is the blessing that it is, a gift from God. I don't know where each of you are on your spiritual journey in this physical life. This I know, you love God. And I also know that you struggle with temptation and sin. You do. How do I know this? Because it's the human condition as revealed in Scripture. And I suspect there are times, perhaps many times, when you suffer doubts about your eternal destination as you strive for a more perfect faith. Thus, as you partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, I urge you to let go and let God. Let go of all your doubts and know with certainty that God offered himself, Jesus Christ, as the perfect sacrifice for all men, including you, Hebrews 10:10, for all sins, including yours, 1 John 2:2, and for all time, including your past, present, and future, Hebrews 10:12. And let go of all of your fears and know with certainty that Christ died for you, not because you are sinless, but because you have sinned, Romans 5:8, 1 Peter 3:18. Not because you are worthy, but because God loves us in our unworthiness, Ephesians 2:4-7, 3:19. Let go of this world and rejoice in the certain knowledge that when we die, God will send his angels and bring you into the arms of Jesus in paradise. If you can do this for yourself now, I promise you, you will partake of the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. Think about it. How can you rejoice in Christ and his salvation if you don't think you've been saved? But when you know for certain that he has, partaking of the Lord's Supper is a hallelujah moment. And if you can do this for yourself now, you can do it for the rest of your lives. And if you do it for the rest of your life, I assure you, you'll be filled with strength, joy, and peace. You will suffer afflictions, but that kind of faith will get you through it. You will suffer temptations, but this kind of faith will get you through it. And when your appointed time on this earth for your departure from your flesh comes, when your hearts beat their last beats, when you breathe your last breaths, you will be at peace. And if you will listen closely, you will hear Christ whisper in your ears before you die, "Truly I say to you today, you shall be with me in paradise." We'll now be served the Lord's Supper.